If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you turn with me to a familiar passage of Scripture. It is Valentine's Day, and we've got the heart on our mind, and love is in the air. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is known as being the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and there's actually 13 verses, and it reads as following in your hearing. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity bondeth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for love. And we pray, Father, as we spend a few minutes in your word, that we might take a fresh look, to remind ourselves again why it's important, why we need it, where it comes from, and how it works. To the point, to the end, that lives are changed, that lives are strengthened, that may wrong become right, may lies become truth, may weakness find strength, may those who are lost be saved, and a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. To that end, we pray and ask your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would like a thought to hang your hat on as we go through these few verses, my thought for today is the difference maker. The difference maker. Now, if you look at the word charity, it is actually described and translated as the word love. And the word love in the English language is tossed around a lot. The problem is sometimes words are in people, and when people use the word, they may have their own meaning attached to it. The New Testament was written in the Greek language, the Koine, or everyday Greek language, and when the Greeks talked about the word love, they had at least three, and sometimes four words that they used and were translated into the English, love. I often say, because the subject of marriage did come up in Sunday school class, I tell people when I'm talking to them, you really need to understand what your intended spouse means when they use the word love. Because what they define love is, when they describe it as a noun and when they describe it as a verb, may not be anywhere close to what you are talking about. Now, your definition of love may have come from your background. It may have come from your education. It may have come from your experience. You know, if you were raised by parents who loved each other, then partly your definition of love will be defined by what you've seen expressed by the two people who brought you into the world, or whoever it was that was acting as your parents in your life. If you saw harsh words being exchanged, if you saw meanness and unkindness, if you saw lack of sympathy, if you saw struggling and suffering, but they stuck together, then you said, that's love. It was tough. It was hard. But That's love. So your idea of showing love to your wife or your husband could be from that same background. Based on your experience, well, that's the way mom and daddy did it. And they said they loved each other. That must be love. I mean, they stayed married 50 years. It could be your education. You go off and you read the books and the magazines of your day. You learn that, you know, there's all kinds of books on the shelves talking about what love is and how it works and what you should do to implement it in your life. You need to try this technique. You need to try this method. And if you do this to your spouse and say these things and do these things, give her a flower every day, Charlie. Give her a flower every day. Send her a card. Write a thoughtful note. When he goes away on his trips, stick a little something in there to remind him. Got something waiting for you at home. Got something waiting for you at home, honey. Fix his lunch. Do his laundry. Do something that says, I love you. You know, maybe she likes to be wined and dined. So you wine her and dine her. Okay, we're going to McDonald's. Love you. So, you know, our culture has a lot of things that says, this is how you love somebody. So it can be based on your own experiences. You know, you could have quoted Shakespeare. If music be the food of love, then play on. To be or not to be, that is the question. And you know, you come up with all this good stuff, you don't know what it means, but it certainly sounds good. Maybe you're just, you know, what they consider a heartbreaker on either side of the fence. You think that love is basically your looks. Love is basically your wallet. Because people seem to like you for your looks, and they seem to like you for your wallet, and you figure that's all there is to it. Well, it has to be because I got money. It has to be because of the car I drive. It has to be because of the job I have. Because when I didn't have any of that, I couldn't get a date if I paid one. But now that I've got means and substance, their philosophy is, romance without finance has no chance. So they believe that, you know, you got to be able to pay for it. Because if you get one, her philosophy would be, what's yours is mine. Now, she may believe that what hers is hers, but what's yours is hers, and she's entitled to it, and that's what love is. So love can be your education, love can be your experience, love can be your background. You can have all these little things about what you think love is. You can ask people that are married. I mean, I could go down the row. Got the two little lovebirds there on the fourth row, and I could say, what's your secret? I could go to the little lovebirds here in the third row. I mean, all you lovebirds are so tight you couldn't get a piece of paper in between them. I like that. I like that. I mean, I said to Gordon and Mary Eleanor, I said, you guys, were you drifted in back there? Yep. I said, lots of quality time together? Well, we spent time together. Ooh, yeah, they're funny, boy. They're funny, I tell you. Get wittier as they come along the path. But when you look at this chapter, there's three things I want you to think about. There is a style of love, there is a strength to love, and there is a source for love. That the whole thing fits in, and Paul was writing to this church. This was a fantastic church that was founded by Paul in the city of Corinth, and they had all of the gifts. The New Testament was not complete at that time. They had the Old Testament, but they had some gifts that enabled them to be what God wanted them to be and do what God wanted them to do. And the thing is when you look at chapter 12, it talks about some of the gifts that this church has. And he references this, that he puts it together that having gifts is like having a different part of the body. Some people are one part, some people are another. But the whole idea is they all have to work together. And you have to recognize what your gift is. There's no sense in being lips if you're a foot. It doesn't really work well. You spend all your time down on the ground getting your mouth dirty because you're trying to be a foot, and you're not a foot, you're a pair of lips. So be lips and be happy that you're lips. But then he goes on to say, you know, there's a problem with you guys because even though you have all of the parts that are necessary to be what you should be, there's something wrong with the way that you work together. And the thing that's wrong is the thing that's the difference maker. Because the last verse of chapter 12, he starts out by saying, I show you a more excellent way. I show you a better way. It has been said, people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you look at how he introduces this chapter on love, he says, you know what, I can speak all kinds of languages. I can be very versatile. I can speak French and German and Latin. I can speak English and I can speak Chinese and Mandarin. I can speak Korean. I can speak just anything you can think of. I'm well versed in the languages. You know, I can talk to anybody about anything. And I can even have an angelic tongue. I can even have the language that the angels speak, which is really out of this world. But it really doesn't make any difference. He says, you know, because what happens is I'm just making noise. Somebody said, just another voice in the crowd saying nothing, talking loud. If people realize that when you talk to them that you don't love them, they tend to tune you out. They tend to ignore you. They tend to close their ears, whether physically or mentally or emotionally or spiritually. He says, you know, I can have all of that ability to talk, but I can also have the gift of being able to foretell for God. I can have the gift of prophecy. I can tell what God is saying for you, and I can represent God to you and understand what God says and tell you what God says is going to happen in your life. I can have a great understanding of all the mysteries, the deep things of life that people sit and ponder. I can have all kinds of knowledge. You know, I can be well versed in the knowledge of my day. I can have all kinds of, in this case it's referring to, I can have all kinds of knowledge about the Christian faith. I can explain the doctrines to you. I can tell you the doctrine of justification, the sanctification, and glorification. I can tell you the doctrine of eschatology. I can tell you the doctrine of harmatology, which is a doctrine of sin. I can tell you all this stuff. I can tell you about the doctrine of God and His beginning and His origin. God the Father, God the Son. I can explain all this stuff to you. But you know what? If I don't love you, in, out, over. In one ear, out the other, just over your head. What's he saying? It's like the little boy who was shaking hands at the end of the service, and he went by the pastor, and he said, Pastor, he says, my dad says you are smarter than Albert Einstein. And the pastor's got to thinking, well, that's thank you. And he said, nobody understood him either. So, you know, we can have all the knowledge that we... And am I saying that having the gift of prophecy is bad? No. Am I saying being able to speak in other tongues and communicate to other people is bad? No. Am I saying that having knowledge is bad? No. He says, you know what? And even I can have this much faith. And it's kind of a metaphor here. He says, you know, I could do the impossible. I can do the difficult thing. I can do the challenging thing. I can have so much faith that I can literally move mountains. But all of that really doesn't amount to a hill of beans. In Hillsboro, they're wanting to start this food ministry at the Methodist Church on Tuesdays and Thursdays called Our Daily Bread. With the unemployment rate in Highland County being over 17%, there's a lot of people who have lost their jobs and don't get to eat once, twice, or even three times a day. So the theory is we want to do something to help them. But I was thinking to myself, wow, you know what? Churches are supposed to be behind this, but if we don't do it with love and in love, in God's eyes, it doesn't mean anything. People can be fed and they can be satisfied physically, but as far as connecting with them and making a difference in their life, no. He says, you know, you can have all the money in the world. You can be like the rich young ruler who, when he came to Jesus, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what does the Scripture say? Keep the commandments. He says, and? He said, well, I kept all those since I was a child. He said, well, there's one thing that you're lacking. He said, what's that? He said, sell everything that you have, turn it into money, give the money to the poor who really need it, and then come and follow me. And you know the story. It says that the rich young man went away sorrowful. He asked the question. He was given the answer, but he didn't like what he was told. And here he says, Paul says, and though I give all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have love, it doesn't do anything for me. He says, you know, if we're doing it without love, there's no profit to it. He says, if we're doing it without love, it means nothing. I am nothing. And people don't really care. The style of love. As a Christian, when we love people, we should have a style to our love. And that's the difference maker. You see, the Bible says in the Greek there are three words for love. There is eros, which is a physical love, which is the attraction of a man to a woman. I don't care what the culture says. It's a man to a woman. It's Adam and Eve, and that's it. Everything else is an aberration. Everything else is a sin. Adam and Eve, a man for a woman. That's the biblical model. It's a physical love. I tell young people when they're interested in somebody, I said, so you never thought about anything? Oh, come on. It's supposed to work that way. That's one of the reasons why you're attracted to them. That's why these two, you can't get them apart here, because they're still attracted to each other. Something about feeling a little warm, feeling a little uncomfortable. Good thing for winter. Good thing for cold showers. You step outside and, woo, I think I'm going to be all right. I said, you know, the problem is your body doesn't know that you're not married to this person. They look at you like, really? I said, yeah. So I said, when you have desires and you spend time, that's why you should be careful when you spend your time, where you spend your time, and how you spend your time. Because if you don't pay attention to when and where and how, I don't have to say you've been down that road. Anyway, there's a style to love. And the style is, it's not a physical kind of love. And then there's the love of friendship. If you've ever been to the city of Philadelphia, philios is the other word in the Greek, and it means a brotherly kind of love. It's a love of affection. It's, I care about you because you're my brother. You're my brother. You're not heavy. Hey, brother, can you spare a dime? You know, you reach out to people, and Jesus illustrated that when he told the story of the Good Samaritan. Who is your neighbor? Who is your brother? Anybody you meet along life's journey, whether you know them or not. That's another kind of a love. But that's not the kind of love we're talking about here. The kind of love we're talking about here is called agape, or agape love. And it's a God kind of love. And that's the difference maker. Because when you and I choose to interact with anybody, including ourselves, that kind of love should make a difference in how we treat people. Because it overcomes the following things. It says that this kind of love is long-suffering. It puts up with a lot. And sometimes we seem to have a short fuse, or we seem to have a few nerves, because we say, you know, she's getting on my last nerve. And I always say, well, did you bring your reserve nerve? No, I didn't bring no reserve nerve. I just got this one nerve, and she's... And they tell you, I don't know how much more of this I can take. Really? In my flesh, in my humanity, my nerves are in short supply. But it says if the style of this kind of love is it's long-suffering. And another says it's kind. I always said that, you know, the Bible says I have to love people, it doesn't say I have to be nice to them. I guess I'm wrong, because the Bible does say that if I'm going to do what God wants me to do, I should be kind. And when you think about being kind, the question comes up is, what does that mean to be kind? It means to be gentle in my behavior. It means to be thoughtful and considerate of other people. And sometimes when things are not going well and you're having a rough patch, a low spot, or a bad day, one of the last things you want to do is show that kind of love. The difference maker is the Spirit of God in your life. How does that work? Well, we'll get there. It says that, you know what? I'm not jealous of you because of what you have or what you don't have. I'm glad you got a new car, Gary. I'm glad, Tim, that you're living in a new house. I don't have to pay for it, but you do, so I'm just praying for you to get you to enjoy that blessing. You know, oh, you've been on a cruise, Randy. Oh, you had a good time, you and the missus, 7-day cruise out there in the middle of the water floating around. Oh, yeah, it was great. Weather was fine. 80 degrees every day. Sunshine, just, I'm more in love with her now when we left. Great. Glad you had a good time. I don't sit there and go, wow, I wish I could have gone. They didn't ask me to go. Well, you're not married to them. Why would they take you along? They say, two's company, three's a crowd. What are you, a little fifth wheel sticking out on the side? Who's the, well, this is our pastor. He wanted to come. So, you know, we brought him along because he kept talking about it. You know, I don't envy what you have. And if you ever remember, well, you're all old enough to remember. It used to be that one of the ways you used to start a furnace was you had this thing called a bellows, and it had two handles, and it was this closed container, and it had folds in it, and you would open it up and it would suck air in, and you would push it together and it would blow air out. And so it says the thing about love is it's not full of itself. It has a style to it. These are the things that it is not. And the nice thing is it clearly defines what it is not, and then it's going to tell us what the style of love is. So it's not puffed up. It does not draw attention to itself by behaving unseemly. It is not selfish in that it thinks about its own. It is not so sensitive. You know, people that are sensitive are really interesting to deal with. What do you mean? Well, you have to watch everything you say, and you have to watch everything you do. There was a young lady in Hillsboro, and I came into the store where she worked, and I had taken her out a time or two, and I asked her for something. She worked at Walmart, and it wasn't there. And I said, well, I guess I'll just have to go to Kmart. She looked at me, she says, you are so mean. I go, what? She says, I don't like the way you talk to me. I said, fine, I won't talk to you anymore. And she's like, she came over, she bought me flowers. I'm sorry, I really didn't mean that. I said, well, now here's the deal. I'm my Popeye. I am what I am. I said, I talk the way I talk, and I said, you know, the problem with you, not that it's your problem, it's my problem, is you're so sensitive. I have to think about everything I say. How are you going to take it? Are you going to be offended? Are you going to be upset? Is it going to make you mad? Are you going to be angry? I said, that is too much work. So we just say hi when we pass. Hi.
Hi.
Things that it is not. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It says it rejoiceth not in sin. It's not happy when sin overcomes good. It's not happy when evil gets the upper hand. It's not happy when bad things happen and you're excited. It doesn't get over, it doesn't get off on, you know, I'm mad at them and, oh, they're in a little accident. I'll teach them. Oh, they lost their job. That's what they need. That'll bring them around. This kind of love, the difference maker, it doesn't act like that. And the way we know whether we're in love the way God wants us to be in love or out of love is when life presents itself and we find ourselves doing the things that it says we should not, or that the love that we say we have is not. It says it believes and it gets excited and it rejoices in the truth. That's the style of love. It says, there's some interesting things about this love, and they're talked about in verse number 7. It says, it bears, it believes, and it hopes. And the idea is, it's like, if you step outside this building and look up, there is a roof on this building. There is a covering on this building. And what does that roof do? It provides protection. It provides a covering. And when it says that love bears all things, it's like a covering. It protects. It overshadows. It keeps us from harm. It's able to take whatever comes its way, and it's going to be okay. So it bears all things. It says it believes all things. It says, well, you're just naive. You know, they say Christians are called believers, so they just believe anything that comes along. No. Jesus said that we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We're not supposed to be walking around like we just fell off the turnip truck. Really? Wow. Is that true? No, there's a wisdom that comes from God, which is what spiritual knowledge is, that we are to have. That comes from being around God's people who are following Him. That comes from spending time with God in prayer. That comes from spending time in the Word of God. We understand and look at life from God's perspective. So we're just not like, you know, because the old cliche is, if it sounds too good to be true, more than likely it probably is. Because the question you have to ask yourself, if what you're telling me is so possible that there's no way I could lose, why isn't there a line down the block, around the corner, and out on the 50 of people who are just looking to get in on this sure thing? I mean, can't miss! I don't see anybody standing in the line. So I'm really having a little doubts that, you know, oh yeah, this is really going to change your life. No, it says that this kind of love, it believes the best. It looks for the glass being half full. It looks at people and doesn't see the fact that they've got flaws and mistakes. It sees what could be and it believes the best about people. The problem with life is you have to deal with people. People say, you know, how's the world treating you? And sometimes you say, better than the people. And you go, what's that supposed to mean? Well, you know, it's like people in church. Oh, to dwell with the saints above, that would be glory.
But to deal with these saints below, well, that's another story.
And the point is people are people. I keep telling you this. People are people. So when you think they're going to get together and do something good, they're people. It'll start out okay, but it doesn't stay that way because they find reasons not to get along. But the kind of love that we have, it believes the best about people. It beareth all things. It believeth all things. It has hope. It's positive. Hope, when the Bible says for the Christian, is not a maybe it will happen. It's based on a sure thing. The writer of Hebrews says this hope we have, it's an anchor for the soul. And what are we anchored to? We're anchored to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The style of love. We talked about style. And then we want to talk about the second letter I gave you. And it talks about verse number 8. It says, charity never fails. Love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. What he was saying is, in the beginning of the church, there were a lot of gifts that people had. And he said these gifts would either stop on their own or stop automatically because there's no need for them anymore. So if you're all caught up in having the showy gifts, and these are the gifts that he was talking about, speaking in tongues. Wow, you know, you're up front and you're running your mouth, people are listening, maybe. You're up front and you're doing some sort of little magical thing, people, wow. You know, it's an attention-getting thing. One of the things people use to get people in the church is, let's have some entertainment. They'll come if we entertain them. They'll fill the pews because we've got woo and wow and bang and pizzazz and loud and flash and wow. Boy, down there in Fall Creek, man, it's going on down there. You can barely, woo, come with me. People come in and then after they get used to the flash and the bang and the bow and they go, but there was nothing after the flash and the bang and the bow and the, oh, ain't nothing going on down there. And then they go away because they're looking for more flash and bang and bow and more excitement. Always got to be exciting. Always got to be exciting. Always got them on the edge of their seat. There's got to be more to it than that. And his point was, when you've got all these flashy gifts and the showy gifts, people are drawn to that. But he says, the Christian life, there's more to it than that. Because all those things will go away. It says, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. There's a style to love. There are all the things that it is not. There are all the things that it is. It bears, it hopes, it believes. And when we find ourselves not putting up with, not believing, and having no hope, love isn't having control of our lives. It says, we know in part, and then we prophesy in part. It talks about seeing through a glass darkly, but then face to face. One of the things the Corinthians were known for was their mirrors. Now, if you go look in the mirror in the bathroom, it has a silver coating. When you look at it, you get a pretty accurate representation of what you look like. Back in those days, the mirrors were made out of metal. And it was a polished metal. And when you looked into it, it sort of showed you what you look like, but not exactly really clear. And his point is that when we go through this life of heartache and headache and tribulation and get over to the other side and see Jesus face to face, we will see Him as He really is. We will see Him for what He is. We will see Him for how He is. And we'll go, wow. If you are married, can you raise your hand and say, I know my spouse completely, absolutely. There is no mystery. I know everything about them there is to know. They cannot pull the wool over my eyes. They cannot surprise me. I know them like the back of my hand. If you believe that you're in that camp, raise your hand, step forward, and I'll give you $100. There's a strength to our love, and that's that it never fails. And then there's a source of our love. The source of our love is this. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. There's a lot of words you could use to substitute for the word charity, but the source of our love is this. The Bible says that God is love. You know what? That's the source of our love. That's also the secret of our love. When we love as we're taught in this chapter, we're loving not with our love, but with the love of God. And that's what agape love is. It's a God type of love. The songwriter said, He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. And whenever we look at humanity, we see ourselves. Whenever we look at humanity, we see God. Because the Bible tells us in Genesis that God said, let us make man in our image. So we are created in the image of God. All of us, no matter what we look like, no matter where we come from, we're all created in the image of God. So whenever we look at somebody else, we should see God. And you know, we learn from the commandments that the first four talking about our relationship to God, the second six talk about our relationship with each other. The question is when we look at other people, do we see God in them? Do we see that we should respect them because they're created in the image of God?
But they're drunk.
Yeah. But they're fighting.
Yeah.
But they're on drugs.
Yeah.
But they're not doing anything with their lives.
Yeah.
But they're not nice people.
Yeah.
That's the ugly side of Christianity. When you run into the irregular and the ugly people, do we show the love of God? You see, that's the difference maker. Is the source of our love is God Himself. God is love. When we have this kind of love that overshadows us, that runs through our heart and fills it with the love that comes out of our mouth, that comes out of our eyes, that comes out of our hands, that's the source of our love, because we do it because the love of God is in us and we let Him have control. When we go through life, it's simply, Lord, what would you have me to do today? It's a difference maker. When we act ugly, we're not showing the source of our love. We're showing the source of our selfishness, which is me, myself, and I, our own personal trinity. The trinity here is faith, hope, and love. These three. But the one that makes all the rest of them go is love. One of the things you want to do when you go home is every time you see the word charity, stick in the word Jesus Christ. Think about it and see how it changes how you view love. The difference maker is the love of God, because when we have the love of God, shed abroad in our hearts, and it reaches out and touches a world that's looking for it. The world's looking for love. Can you tell them where to find it? Yeah. Empty cross, empty tomb, risen Savior. That's love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for reminding us. Your love is the difference maker. Because when we have your love, we have you. The problem, Father, is when we don't let your love through your Spirit always have your way in our lives. And for that, we ask your forgiveness. And for that, we ask that you give us strength to be sensitive to letting you be you in us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for all this. Amen.